Good morning. Welcome to The Crossing. We're glad you're with us here today. We're continuing our series on breakthrough. I'm excited about this. I believe, as we just sang in this last song, this is something that God has ordained for this moment in our church. I believe some of you are going through situations in your life where the truth is you just need a breakthrough. Some of you, I believe, as a church, I believe that we are poised through a breakthrough of what God has planned, and I just can't wait to see it. And the concept that we've been looking at and processing over the last week, and we will for the next couple weeks, is a simple thought of this, that everyone at points in their lives goes through moments where you feel trapped. Everybody goes through moments where you feel as if there is no hope. You're beyond your capability. You're beyond your hope, and you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to make it through. And it's in those moments that we often have one or two choices. We can choose to trust that God is who he says he is, or we can try to make it on our own. But usually at those moments are the moments where we don't have the strength to move on. And it's in those moments where we need a breakthrough. And it's in those moments often where God shows up. But if you've been there before, you understand sometimes he doesn't show up when we think he should. Amen? Yeah. We're like, Lord, your timing is a little off. This is when I had it planned. This is you've missed this. Let me help you with this, right? I mean, we've all been in that moment. And so what we're looking at here today is we've been looking at some of the characteristics of God. And also that we can trust who he is. We can know this is who he is. This is who the Word of God tells us he is. We can see his characteristics. But we're also looking at some of the barriers that we have to battle in our mind to move forward. Last week, we looked at the fact that the characteristic that God is our deliverer. That when you know that no matter what you face, even though you may think he's not there, we looked at the children of Israel in the Red Sea, you may think that he's forgotten. He is our deliverer. But then there's the barrier, is the rearview mirror syndrome, where we live life constantly looking at the past instead of looking at the future of what God has planned. If you'd like to listen to that, you can go to our website and look at the podcast. Or if you'd like to follow today, even through the message today, through YouVersion, you can see on that, there's the events tab. You'll see the scripture and all the scriptures for today, as well as the link to last week's message. But we're looking at these concepts, saying these characteristics. Today, I want to look at the characteristic that God is a God of peace. He is God, our peace. Even when things go south, you can know he is in control and he will give you comfort. Amen. Now, this is easy to preach when things aren't going south, right? Like when your life's not going south, you tell others, oh man, when it's going south, buddy, God's there. But the truth is, sometimes when your life is going south, you're saying, whoa. But here's what we know. Even when things aren't going the way we think we should, he is a God of peace. If you're willing to let go and say, God, I don't get this, but I'm not going to try to fight this. I'm going to trust you. You're going to find peace in him. But there's a barrier that comes up because the devil's not just going to be okay with it. But in Romans 16:20, though, it tells us that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. But there's a barrier that we face is this. It's the battle of faith versus trust. You see, if you've ever prayed for God to do something, that prayer has tied with faith. We have faith to believe that God can. In Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus said like this, if you don't have enough faith, Jesus told him, he said, I told you the truth. If you even had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, for nothing is impossible for God. So we see this process here that faith, if you've ever had to pray, that's a prayer of faith. You're believing that God is supreme. You're believing that God can and meet your need. But the truth is, sometimes it doesn't happen, like we said earlier, in our timing. And so we may have peace that he's in control. We may have faith that he will heal us. But sometimes, and he will touch our bodies or come through, whatever it is. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And what happens is the devil begins to get in your mind and say, hey, God doesn't love you. Hey, God's not listening to you. Hey, you know, your faith isn't true. And, you know, we start to believe it. And we start to say, well, maybe God isn't going to do this. Maybe God won't do this. Because, see, there's another element to faith, and that is trust. You see, faith and trust go hand in hand. You cannot have faith without trust, and you cannot have trust without faith. I want you to catch that. You can't have faith without trust, and you can't have trust without faith. They are brothers. They go hand in hand. They work together. Because trust says this, that no matter what I want, no matter what my beliefs are, you are sovereign and you are in control. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him what? And he'll show you the path to take. He'll direct your path. It's a scripture that many of you have quoted in your life. It says, trust in him, believe in him. If you notice, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. You catching that? Then he'll make your path straight. There's a part you have to do. You have to have faith. You have to trust and believe that God is in control. Because when you trust and when you have faith and you recognize that they go hand in hand, guess what? It breeds peace. Because I can believe that God is who he says he is, and I can have faith for that. But I can trust that no matter what my mind can comprehend, he's in control. And that's hard to do. When things aren't going your way, when things aren't going the way you want them to go, and you're wondering where he is, that's difficult to live. But when you begin to say, God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to have faith in you, it brings peace in your life. But the enemy doesn't stop. He wants to beat us up. I want to look at a story today, a story that gives a good illustration of this. If you look in your Bibles with John chapter 11, I'm going to get into it in just a moment. In John chapter 11, it tells a story of a man named Lazarus. Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. He had a sister named Martha and Mary, and they were friends of Jesus. You see throughout the scripture and even through this story that they spent time together, that they were buds. They were like a family unit. They loved each other. And in John chapter 11, we see the story where Mary and Martha send word to Jesus. He had just left Judea. He is out of their region. People were wanting to stone him and kill him. And he left that area and he was ministering to other people. And they sent word. Mary and Martha sent word and said, hey, Jesus, we want you to know something. Our brother is sick and he's not doing well. And so Jesus responds to them like this. He says, be encouraged. Your brother is not going to die. Well, that's probably not the answer they were looking for, right? They're like, no, he's sick. Come pray for him. They're like, he's not going to die. And then he stays there for two more days, right? And they're like, okay, he's not going to die. But guess what happens? Lazarus dies. And all of a sudden, here we are, this faith and trust, like, oh, Jesus, you said he's not going to die. Whoa, 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 you screwed up here, Jesus. Come on, you know that's what they're thinking. You missed this one. He died. Well, you see, they don't know this. This isn't the time of technology. They don't know what's going on. So 2 days later, Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says, it's time to go to Judea. We're going to go see Lazarus. Well, now let's get in. He has his group of followers. His disciples are there. And they say, Thomas speaks up and says, oh, he's the realest in the group, right? The one that says, show me the scars and everything. So here's Thomas. He says, hold up, Jesus. They were just trying to stone you there in Judea. That's not where we need to go. And he says, no, Lazarus is asleep. We need to go. To which he speaks up, great. If he's sleeping, he's going to get better. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what you read. He's like, if he's asleep, all is good. We're not going to Judea. He says, no, 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 you don't get it. Lazarus is dead. He said, we're going to Judea. To which Thomas says, no kidding. It says, great. He says, let's go die with him. I mean, that's what he says. I mean, he is this encourager. He's like, awesome. If that's what you want, we will go die with Lazarus. Good call. You know, so they go their journey to Judea. They're here to see. Actually, it's in Bethany right there in that area, in the area of Judea. And so they come to Bethany and we pick up the story here in chapter 11, verse 22. It says, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. See if you can relate to this. But Mary stayed in the house. Mary said, psh, I'm not going to see him. He didn't show up for me, right? Verse 21, see if you can relate to this. Martha said, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. Your timing was off. But now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. So here's one of our reactions that happens. Our reaction when things don't go our way is simply this: God, where are you? Where were you? Anybody relate to that? It's like, hey, I'm here. You know, I've been praying. You've not showed up. Where are you? And you know, that's what Martha's saying. Hey, yo, Jesus, if you would have been here, he would have lived. But you weren't. You said he would be okay. He was not. He died. I mean, she's just speaking truth, right? Man, isn't that our reaction sometimes? God, why didn't you answer? Why aren't you answering? Where are you? Where were you? You could have helped this, but you didn't. But look at Jesus' response. He simply tells her, hey, everything is going to be okay. Look at verse 23. He told her, your brother will rise again. She's like, awesome. Right. Yes, I know he will. Right. But that's his response. It's going to be okay. But when you're in their shoes, when you're grieving, when you're hurting, you're saying, yeah, it's going to be okay, but it's not okay right now. Because look at her response, which is often our response. Your timing was a little off. It's a little off here, God. It's not exactly what I expected. I expected him to be healed because you said he wasn't going to die. But he died. So what's up with that? Like, why is he dead? I'm struggling with this, Lord. Look at verse 24. He says, yes, Martha. Or Martha says this. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. I mean, I don't know. We can't dictate tone through this passage. But there's a part of me that kind of thinks there might be a little hint of sarcasm and smart aleck there. Like, yeah, he's going to rise in heaven when we all rise, but he ain't rising right now, right? That's kind of how, I mean, is that not how you would feel? You're like, yes, I believe that, but it's not happened quite like I thought it should happen. So here we are. He's dead. She's living in reality. He's living in the supernatural. She's living in the natural. He's in the supernatural. He's saying, hey, it's going to be okay. I got this. She's saying, yeah, I know you do, but it ain't okay. It's not okay. It's not happening the way I want. Look at Jesus' response. I believe it's something like this. Don't you believe that I'm the one true living God? Don't you trust me? Look what it says in verse 17. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and life. Anyone who believes in me after dying will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me, believes in me, will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? He says, look, I'm it. I'm the resurrection and life. You believe in me, you're not going to die. Do you not believe this? Are you not tracking with me, he's saying? Do you not know that I'm going to take care of you? But she responds like many of us respond. But God, why? I know what you're preaching. I know what you're saying. But why did he die? You said he would live. Why? Why are you not responding to me? Why are you not answering me the way I expect you to answer? Why? Let me pause here for a moment, because oftentimes, you know, I've grown up and even where people will say, don't question God. But I believe it's okay sometimes to say, God, I don't understand. Because we don't understand the human nature. Some things, here's the reality. Some things this side of heaven, we're just not going to get. Amen? Some things this side of heaven, you're not going to be able to rationalize. You don't understand. You don't get it. I don't get it. I'd love to give you some great theological explanation, but the truth is, some things this side of heaven, I just don't get. That's why the Bible tells us that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. We don't understand everything. Even Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, knew his purpose, knew his reason, knew everything of what was happening. But for a moment, when he felt that God had turned his head in the midst of seeing his son suffer, you remember what he cried out? He said, my God, why, there it is, why have you forsaken me? Hold up. I'm here dying for you. This is all part of the plan. What are you looking away for? I'm hurting. Can you relate to that? And it's okay sometimes. Because when we question, we're trying to find answers. But here's what the resolve has to happen. But nevertheless, you have to know and trust that you may not understand why, you may not understand what's going on, but you can trust Him. And when you trust Him and you put your faith and trust in Him, do you know what He gives you? Peace. Because He is God, our peace. That's His characteristic. When you begin to say, I don't get it, but I'm going to trust you, He gives you peace. Look in verse 27, you see her response. She said, yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into this world from God. Then she returned to Mary, and she called Mary aside from her mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. I'm sure Mary's going, yeah, I'm sure he does, right? But what does Mary do? She gets up. She immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at a place where Martha had met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, here it is again. Catch this. If you had only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I mean, you see these raw emotions coming from Mary and Martha. They're like, I don't get it. We prayed. We sent word. You're Jesus. You're the Messiah. Come heal him. Or just, hey, just say he's healed there and we're good. You've done that before, right? Why? Why are you not responding? If you would have just cared enough. But look at Jesus' response. He says this. Look, I understand your pain. And I grieve with you. You see, Lazarus was Jesus' friend. He was like a family member to him. And he hurt because they hurt. He hurt because of the pain they experienced. But you know what Jesus knew that they didn't understand? He made mention of it at the beginning in John chapter 11. He said this. When they were wondering if Lazarus, they sent word, he said, he will not end in death. This is happening so that God will receive glory. Now, they didn't catch that part, right? They're like, what do you mean God received? Okay, yeah. Okay, he's not going to die. You receive glory. Amen. They didn't realize he was going to die. Jesus knew this was all part of the plan because he's God. He understood. He said, hey, this is a part of the plan. It's going to be okay. But you know what Jesus, Lazarus was his friend. He was a friend of him. He cared for his friend. Look at verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. And he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. Then they told him, Lord, come and see. Look at verse 35. Then Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. He wept with them. He hurt with them. Because he understood the pain. But you know what? He also understood that sometimes life brings difficult situations. He even told them. He said, in this life, you will face difficulties. You will face sickness. You will face loss. You will face troubled relationships. All the difficulties that are in your life, Jesus said, man, I wish you didn't have to. And one day you won't. That's called heaven, amen? One day you're not going to have to. But because God created us in a free will, and because man chose to sin, sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, so did evil, so did sickness, so did death. All these things came as a result of sin. And Jesus hurt because he knew they were hurt. He wept. He's like, this is my friend Lazarus. I hate to see you in pain. And I hate that this has happened. You see, in Revelation 1:18, Jesus says this, "I am the living one. I was dead, now look, I am alive forever and ever, and hold the keys to death and Hades." Other translations say death, hell, and the grave. Because you look at the scripture and you say Jesus was angered. Why was he angered? He was angered at Satan. Because he knew the pain that he was inflicting upon his friends, the ones he loved. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do something about this. This whole process of me dying and rising again, when I die, I'm taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave. There's no more of this. I will hold authority over this. So that why? Two reasons. One, you can have peace in troubled times. Two, you can have the faith and trust to know that in this world, it's not your home. That he has created a place for you, and it's called heaven, where there is no suffering, there is no pain, there is no hurting. All the things of this world, that's gone. You'll find it in him, through him. So he's angry at the devil. He's saying, look, I'm taking those keys. This hurts, but I'm going to win. But look at our response. I love this. God, couldn't you have done something? Or maybe God, couldn't you have done something a little sooner, right? Like just a little quicker than you did. Because this is not how I want it to happen. Look at the people standing by. They said, you can see how much he loved him. But then some said, catch this. This is the man that healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? You've been there. God, a little sooner, please. God, you've done it before. Others have been touched. Others have been helped. Hello. You could help me. It's a natural response. Look at his response. I believe he just irritates him. He knows what they're saying. But inside of me, I almost feel like Jesus is saying this, devil, you're a liar. Watch this. You know what I mean? You know inside Jesus is like, this is going to be good. Now, I'm fixing to bust the devil right in the chop, right? You know what I'm saying? He's like, it's on. Like, I'm going to prove who I am to everyone right now. Look at verse 36. Jesus was still angry. So he's like, devil, you watch out. He arrived at the tomb in the cave and the stone rolled across the entrance. And Jesus says this, he tells them, roll the stone aside, get it out. Like, dude is dead. Like, in our terms, they've already put the dirt on the headstone. Like, he's been dead. Like, there's not like, this just happened. This is not in the days of embalming, okay? You know, it's like, hey, this is dead. He's dead. Like, what do you mean dead? I mean dead. Like, he's been gone for 4 days, dead. And so, it's interesting because in that day, they were in that culture, in that time, they believed they had to be dead more than 3 days to truly be dead, right? So it's interesting. It's the fourth day, right? It's like proof. This guy is dead. Like they're all like, oh. And look at their response. Their response says, God, remember you weren't here in time? This is the fourth day. You didn't make it. Like you don't want us to roll that stone. Look what they say. Look at verse 38, the beginning of it. Or 38b. Martha said, Martha, did that man's sister protested? Can you imagine? She protested. She said, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. He's like, I mean, you know, she's sitting there saying, okay, I believe you're the Messiah. You're all knowing. You know, do you not get this? Like, this dude's dead. Like, tradition wise, everything wise, he's dead. He stinks. Look at Jesus' response. He says, are you serious? He says, do you not trust me or not trust? Did we not just go through this? Look what he says in verse 40. He responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Catch that. He said, did we not have this conversation? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but just like a minute ago, did I not just tell you, if you trust me, it's going to be okay? He's like, yes, God, you did, but hey, dude's dead. He's gone. She responds something like this. Okay. All right. If you say so, we're going to open, we're going to roll this stone away, and you're going to smell something. Right? Look at Jesus' response. He says, watch and see that I am the one true living God and I am in control. Look at verse 42. He says, he's calling to the Lord. He says, you always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all the people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out or come forth. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we're sitting there right now and you've death of your brother or sister, a loved one, and you're at the graveside and Jesus says, and all of a sudden the dirt starts to break, you know, and you see someone across, I mean, it'd be a little freaky, wouldn't it? You'd be like, whoa. That's what happened. This mummified that looks like a mummy comes out and he says, hey, remove the headcloth. The guy's, he's alive. And the thoughts of the crowd, if you read on in the story, it's an incredible story. It says, many people saw this and believed in Jesus. I'd say so, wouldn't you? I mean, if I'm there, I'm like, oh, okay, you're real, right? But you know, there were even some who didn't like it. Some that were religious and went and told the Pharisees and said, hey, this guy's a flake. You know, there's something wrong with him. And it began the process of them seeking to kill him. You see, the miracles that Jesus performed, people often like, why did he do miracles? Well, obviously, he did miracles to impact people's lives and to help people who were hurting. But the primary purpose of miracles was to prove he was the Messiah. Was to prove he was the real one true living God. See, there are a lot of gods in this world, but they have no proof. They have no evidence of them. It's simply a belief that people believe in. Many people believe in statues. They believe in false gods. But their gods have no power. They have no authority. Nothing happens from them. And that's the same that was true then. People had all kinds of beliefs. But what separated our God from them was the miracles. They said, something's with this guy. There are a lot of people claiming to be the Messiah even in that time. But what separated was that there's the miracles that followed him. And you know what's amazing is those miracles that happened then still happen today. People are healed today. Why? Because Jesus said, greater things will you do than I did. Today, when we lay hands on the sick, you know what? They recover. Now, it doesn't always happen the way we want it, does it? Because we want it instant. I laid a hand, we prayed, it's going to happen, right? Ooh, let's back up. He's a God of peace. And he asks that we pray and we have faith to believe. But he also asks that we trust. And faith and trust go together. And that's a barrier. But if you can break that barrier and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have peace and hope in you. You know what you're going to find? Peace. And that peace only comes from knowing him and experience him. I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that this morning. If you're here today and you don't know our Savior, our Christ, the one true living God, then I want to introduce you. I never want to close the service without giving you that chance. Maybe you're here and you don't know him and you've asked him, you know, or maybe you've asked him to come into your life at one point before and you've walked away. Life's been crazy, been difficult, and he didn't answer the way you thought he should and you're a little frustrated with him. It's okay, but you're going through a time and God's saying, hey, trust me, come to me. Give your heart to me. I'm going to help you. If you're here this morning and that's you, I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. We're not going to call you out, embarrass you. We just want to pray with you and give you an opportunity. Romans chapter 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord and believe in your heart. The confession comes when we pray. The believing comes by a lifestyle. But if you're here this morning and you're saying, hey, I want to make him Lord of my life. Maybe for the first time. Maybe you just want to rededicate. But if you're here today with no one looking around, just make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? else today. Just make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Let's pray together. Let's believe that this is you and that you're saying, hey, I'm asking God, then you know what? Make this your prayer. Believe it with your heart. But as you pray and believe, you know what? That He comes and He helps you. If you haven't accepted Christ your Savior, and that's fine. You know, maybe you're on a journey. Maybe you say, hey, I don't believe. That's okay. God is a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself on you. Nobody is here to force you to believe. It's a journey that you take in your life. And if you're here and you're on that journey, I just pray that you find Him. The Bible says if you seek Him, you'll find Him. If you try to seek to know truth, you'll find truth. We're not here to pressure at all. But for those of you that are making that decision today, let's just pray together. And if you made that decision, you make this your prayer. For others, if you would just agree with me, let's pray right now as one. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.